Let us turn to the scripture reading in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah is called one of the major prophets because he wrote more. Isaiah chapter 40. It's one of my favorite chapters in talking with Muslims about Christ, is because it deals with the Word of God. But here it is also speaking about the coming of Jesus Christ. And you'll find Isaiah chapter 40 on page 599 in your pew Bible. Hear the word of our God. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare has ended. Her iniquity is pardoned. She has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert of a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill made low. The even ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry, and I say, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass, and grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So ends the reading of God's holy word in the Old Testament. Let us turn to a scripture reading in the New Testament, coming from Matthew chapter 3. Matthew, the third chapter, beginning with verse 1. You'll find that on page 808. In the Pew Bible, if you don't have your own. And let's hear the word of the Lord. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah when he said, a voice of one crying into the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John bore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. And then Jerusalem and Judea and all the regions around Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume that you can say to yourselves that we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather wheat into his barn, but the shaft he will burn with unquenchable fire. So ends the reading of God's inspired word. You know, in our Constitution, the Reformed Church in the United States, it speaks about that we may observe Christmas. It doesn't say that you shall. It says may. The reason why is because it's not something specifically commanded in the Scriptures, But we find it as a good thing to remember. It's good to remember that Jesus Christ came into this world and how that all came about. You know, right now people are preparing for Christmas. Right after Thanksgiving, you know, the preparation begins in earnest. And we talk about an Advent. The Advent is a speaks of coming. Now we can speak in Advent of two different types of coming. We can talk about the coming of Jesus Christ in His first coming, that He comes for salvation, that He comes to save His people. But there's a second coming of God, and that is the day of judgment. That God is going to come and to judge this world, and the question is, are you ready for that coming? John the Baptist's ministry was to prepare the way of the Lord. And the reason why that God was coming is that He was coming to redeem. The ministry of John the Baptist in John chapter 1 and verse 21, John was asked, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." John the Baptist did not view himself as being Elijah, but a voice, just a voice crying out into the wilderness. Jesus and John himself was both promised in the Old Testament. And John looked at himself that he was in the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord, to make a straight in the desert a highway for our God. There's some imagery there, because if you go to a desert, you'll find rocks and sand and stuff everywhere, and it's not really a clean path to walk. And yet this wilderness that he's going to prepare is that also John the Baptist was spoken about in Malachi in chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. As the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight, behold, is coming, says the day of the Lord." You see, these verses is talking about John the Baptist is going to be sent to prepare the way of the Lord. He is not going to be preparing by just removing physical stones, but he's going to prepare by teaching people to repent. And then this Lord will suddenly come to his temple. They weren't preparing for it. They weren't ready for it. And the question that you need to ask yourself, are you ready to meet the living God? If you were to leave here tonight, or leave here today, and you would find yourself in an accident, would you be ready to meet God? Would you be ready to stand before the living God? John the Baptist was called to be a messenger before the Lord, before Jesus. John the Baptist was called the least in the kingdom of heaven. The least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist, excuse me. John the Baptist was the greatest of all Old Testament prophets, but he was more than a prophet. He was one that would announce the coming of Jesus. Jesus tells us that John the Baptist comes in the spirit and the power of Elijah. John the Baptist was sent to prepare the nation of Israel to meet their God. It wasn't by doing physical things, but spiritual. John the Baptist was preaching in the desert. We have in Isaiah chapter 35, verses 8, that it was a road of repentance. The road of repentance that they were calling him to. It says in Isaiah chapter 35, verse 8, "And the highway shall be there, it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way, even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor ravenous beast shall come upon it. They shall not be found there, for the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy in their hands, and they shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. It is that preparation. And so if you're going to come to God, you have to repent of your sins. And then what you do is that you come to Zion, which is basically coming to church that you can might meet with the living God. There is a constant call of repentance, and that's what Isaiah was doing. He was in the desert. He was calling them to repentance so that God would not strike it with a curse. Repentance is to turn away from sin and to seek the Lord for His salvation. It's a heartfelt joy in God, seeking God in His salvation. You know, everyone is going to have to stand before the living God. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, that it is appointed for man to die once, and after that, the judgment. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 2, that it is better to go into the house of mourning than to go into the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men. The living will take it to heart. There's going to come a day when you'll stand before God. Are you ready? You know, oftentimes you'll hear that there are two things that are certain in life, death and taxes. But there's one other thing, and that's called judgment. Are you ready to meet the living God? Every person, as it says in Romans chapter 14, every person will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every person will have to give an account for himself to God. God has taken a vow that every tongue shall make a confession to God and require that you give an account. You know, children, when your mother and your father calls you to give an account for something that you've done wrong, there is a time that you have to basically answer to them for what you did. And yet God is calling you to also to repent of your sin and to trust in Christ. You know, people fear the police because they're looking, wondering, well, did I do something wrong? And yet how often do we go through life not even fearing that God will hold you for what you have done to account? Not only will every man, woman, and child stand before the living God for something that you have done, but even for unrighteous thoughts so will you stand before God, even in improper words spoken. The Scripture says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only those words that are good for the building up and of one another. Young people, God will hold you accountable for every remark that dishonors teachers and principals and parents. If you make fun of someone at school, if you mock someone, God will hold you account. If you steal from your neighbors, students, if you steal when no one you think is watching, God still holds you account. You know, in Revelation, we have that whole thing in Revelation chapter 20 that speaks of the great white throne judgment. It says in Revelation chapter 20 verse 11, then I saw a great white throne judgment and him who was seated upon it. And from his presence the earth and the sky fled away and there was found no place for them. On that great white throne judgment, there's no place to hide. It says, I saw the dead and the small standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea and the dead that were in it, death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. You can notice here that men can flee to the mountains and they seek to hide away from the judgment of God. But you can never hide from God. You can never hide from His piercing eye, because He sees you even in the dark. And notice that everyone will be there upon the judgment seat of God, the dead, the small, and the great. Are you ready to stand before the living God? Are you ready to stand before the God who has created the heavens and the earth? Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, for neither poverty nor riches can save you, nor your good works, not all the works that you can do in this world. It's not enough to come before the living God. What God requires of you more than anything else is that you turn to faith in Him, that you trust in Christ alone. There are people today that are taught that if they follow the Quran perfectly, that they'll go to heaven. But God requires perfection. And the only way that you and I can be perfect before God is have the righteousness of Christ counted to be yours when you believe in Christ. You cannot come to God on the basis of your works, because your works have to be perfect before God. Not a stain, not a little bit of pollution in them. And so if you believed in Christ, God gives you His righteousness so that you can stand before this judgment seat of God, and that you can see yourself as be declared not guilty before the judgment. Have you trusted in Christ? Have you called out to His name so that you might be righteous before God? God says that even our best works are corrupted with sin. Our righteous deeds, as it says in Isaiah chapter 64, are like filthy rags, good for nothing, unclean, polluted like a leaf. And that's what our good deeds are like. That every idle word the men speak, well, they'll have to give an account to God. Even if we say, well, we didn't mean that, God still holds you accountable. But in the great judgment of God, another book is opened, and it's called the Book of Life. And if your name is found written in this book, you're not cast out to bear the full burden of God's eternal wrath. The Book of Life is written by God that you might have your name written upon it. And if you've believed in Christ, your name is written there. Your name is written there that you might trust in Him. How do we know that we believed in Christ? When we look at John chapter 3 and verse 14, a passage that I oftentimes turn the people that I witness to, this is what Jesus Christ said. As Moses was lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him shall have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. You see, that is the issue. The issue is this: have you trusted that the eternal God, who is a triune God, sent His Son and into this world at Christmas time? God's Son, while being fully God, took the nature of man to Himself through the Virgin Mary. And so that when He was born God in man. Even the Scriptures refer to Mary as the Mother of God. Why? Because it is one person that is born, and that person is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ came into this world as the only Son of God, that He might have our sins placed upon Him, that you may believe in Christ. And it is that that we believe, that we trust in Him. And if you have not trusted in Christ, the Scripture says you're not having your name written in the book of life. And so I plead with you, if you've not trusted in Christ, that you would believe Him today. We should prepare to be ready to meet God because we don't know when our judgment day is coming. I didn't know when I was going to be preaching this morning. But you need to be prepared. You need to be prepared because you don't know when your life is going to end. And so to prepare to meet God, you need to repent of your sins. You need to trust in Christ. And we need to constantly do that. And that's the reason why hearing the gospel is important for us, is that we need to always remember that we need to turn from our sin and trust in Christ. Either you will repent now, or you will have to repent before the great white throne judgment when it's too late. What is your choice? You know, we get ready for Christmas by doing all kinds of activities. But the main thing that we need to get ready for is to meet God and to be ready to come into His presence. It is my prayer and it's my desire that you might repent of your sins and that you might seek God's salvation and that you might turn to Him in service. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious Father, we desire to always be ready for You and to always be ready to stand in Your presence to worship You. Lord, forgive us of our many sins and renew us by Your Holy Spirit that we might have hearts that always want to please You. And help us turn to You in faith that we might believe in Christ and have eternal redemption. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.